Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters. Thanks for joining us today. It's Sunday, November 22nd already. We're in pre-Thanksgiving mode here at Satellite Sisters. So that's going to be the basis of the show today. Joining me from South Pasadena is Sheila Dolan. Sheila, you have your turkey in yet?
No turkey. I haven't even unpacked my suitcase from Minnesota. So we need to talk about that.
All right. We will be talking about your hit trip to Minnesota. Monica Dolan is here from Portland, Oregon. Monica, I'm going to be seeing you tomorrow. Very excited.
Exciting, Liam.
And then
bring a raincoat.
Bring a raincoat?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That's always good advice in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah. All right. And then that voice is Liz Dolan. Liz, you're joining us from the base of Mount Shasta. That's so romantic, Liz. Who are you there with?
You know, I'm here with my boyfriend, Ferris. And, you know, this is our favorite luxury resort here, the Best Western Treehouse. It's the dog friendliest Best Western on the I-5. So I am driving up to Bend, Oregon. As soon as we finish here this morning, we'll jump back in the car and we will be there by lunchtime. But we drove all day yesterday from Santa Monica to Mount Shasta. One really funny thing, I mean, this time of year, especially in an El Nino year, where so I was a little bit worried about the possibility of snow.
Oh yeah.
I put the snow tires on my car. So you feel like a total idiot in Santa Monica driving with snow tires on your car. And then the whole trip yesterday, it was 72 and sunny. It was just, it could not have been a more gorgeous day. Really, even when we got out of the car at 6 p.m. here at the peak of Mount Shasta, it was like 50 and gorgeous, like not a cloud in the sky. It was.
And I went to
the snow tires.
I went to a holiday boutique yesterday. It was 86 degrees, like outside Heart Walk. People were sweating trying to buy Christmas ornaments, and people are still dressed up in their sweaters. You know, like they're not having it that it's 85.
Well, they're going to wear them no matter what.
Liz, you never know. You know, maybe on the way back, you should tell people that is a rough pass. I mean, that's at like 8,500 feet. There's a lot of snow up there. It can be rough if it's snowing. So you did the right thing. Your mother would be proud of you. All right. We do have a full show today. We're going to get the highlights from Minnesota. Sheila has prepared a to-do list for what we're supposed to do for a big Portland event. There's some story about the Girl Scouts of Brewing. Sheila's going to report on that, and a fascinating cover story about women in Hollywood in the New York Times Magazine. And then Liz has a question about a suspicious email she got. But so how was Minnesota, you guys?
Go ahead, Liz.
Well, I'm just going to say, I know we have a series of events in Oregon this week, and good luck, Oregon, because, and we love Oregon, but it would be hard to have a better time with a warmer, more loving response than we got in Minnesota. Wouldn't you say, Sheila?
Yes. I mean, to consider that there were no family members in the audience, and the room was completely full at the St. Paul Athletic Club when we arrived. It was really exciting.
It was really exciting. Well, when we arrived, it was funny because it was in this room at the St. Paul Athletic Club because Subtext Books, thank you again very much, Subtext, they could sense from the phone traffic they were getting that our people were not going to fit in their adorable little store. So we were in this sort of bar function room at the St. Paul Athletic Club. And when Sheila and I walked in, I would say there were about a dozen women already there, but it was kind of a dimly lit room. And it was kind of, there were little pockets of people here and there, like they weren't sure they were in the right place. We weren't sure we were in the right place. But the moment we walked in, we figured it all out. And then, you know, hilarity ensued.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these women were in the right place, considering a lot of them had been listening to Satellite Sisters on FM 107 in Minnesota for years. So they knew our original show.
And well, even before that, they were listening on Minnesota Public Radio. So they were going way back to the very beginning of our public radio days. So this is our deepest, best constituency, I think.
Yeah, no, it was a really, really great crowd. And I loved being in Minnesota just for a touch of the brisk wind, you know, to just wear my coat, my scarves, my boots, just for 48 hours. That's all I needed. And I'm back in California. But it was really, really fun walking around St. Paul with our chaperone, our good friend, our sixth sister, Kathy Douglas, who is so much fun to be with. And then, Liz, I mean, we were showered not only with hugs and smiles, but we got actual gifts in Minnesota.
loot. We got loot.
We got chocolates. We got something called chippers, which are chocolate covered potato chips from North Dakota. I mean, do I need to say any more? I mean, we got homemade candles, beautiful gift bags from Minnesota. It was just really lovely to go back to my hotel room and see the personalized gifts and read all the personalized notes that we got really during the book signing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first I want to say a little bit about whipping around both Twin Cities, though, because in the morning on Saturday, we went to not one, not two, but three different Barnes and Nobles to sign the books they had there. So we are stocked in all the Barnes and Nobles in that area. So the Harmar Mall, we got one Uber driver who stuck with us all morning, took us to the Harmar Mall, then the Lake Street Barnes & Noble, and then the Nicollet Mall, which is the downtown Minneapolis, like the main big two-story store. And what I thought was so funny is that, you know, these were all stores that, let's just say, they could have had the Satellite Sisters, but they opted not to. And not that we're not grateful for them for stocking the book, but the Nicollet Mall, you guys are not going to believe what they were doing Saturday during the day as an event, instead of having the Satellite Sisters. You want to know what their event was?
I know because you sent me the classic Liz Dolan text. I could hear the sneer in your voice. But go ahead, Liz. Tell
Here's
the people
what
they
were
what
doing.
They were
the noon event at the big store on the big mall in downtown Minneapolis was adult coloring books.
Oh,
yeah. That's what they were doing. They were having an adult coloring event. So,
yes, yeah. That hurt. I just, at that point, I went and got another coffee. Now, the good thing about the Barnes & Noble in Minneapolis and St. Paul, they all include coffee on the ground level. So you don't have to go up in the escalator. Usually in L.A., I've seen, you know, Barnes & Noble bookstores with the coffee on the second floor. Coffee's on the first floor in Minnesota. So I like that. Even if our book is not on the first floor, coffee's on the first floor.
For me, one of the most fun things at the event in St. Paul was that there were so many Satellite Sisters that walked in that I had never met before, but I recognized them immediately because your photos are so familiar from the Facebook group. And so it really makes you realize like how fun it is to be able to have a dialogue on Facebook, because there were people that walked in who didn't even need to introduce themselves, which is really nice. That's a very, very special link to have, you know. And then there were people who, it's always dangerous to call out just one or two names, but I think we have to call out Beth, because she was wearing not only the classic Satellite Sisters t-shirt, but she had the classic Satellite Sisters hat on. And that means you're like an original.
Beth Welshins, that's right. Sue Shaughnessy, so many friends from Facebook who showed up. Sally was at the bar when we got there. Love you, Sally. And, you know, what can I say? I still have not unpacked my suitcase. I'm just keeping it there as a sweet reminder of our trip. It was really great. But Monica, I know you're going to be in Portland. And Leanne, you're going to be in Portland as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so Monica, I worked up just a short list for you to remember when you're doing a meetup or when you're doing the book tour, okay? All right, so the first is drink water, but not too much, okay? Because you need to stay hydrated, but I am the type, and I know I think Leanne is too, we need to go to the ladies' room quite a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, and so.
Thanks for shouting that out.
Liz, I didn't see you go to the ladies' room all weekend, so I don't know what's up with you.
I just permanently dehydrated, I guess.
And so I just, you know, I needed to keep that balance going because I usually would run to the ladies' room right when I got to the meetup or right when the book tour was about to start. So just keep that in balance. Number two, you need to take control of your photo pose. Now, I tried something which didn't work in all of my photos, which is to keep my chin in and down.
In and down.
Some people do chin up. I do not. I do not find that flattering for me. So you're going to have a lot of photos taken of you, Monica, a lot of photos. So decide now what you want your photo pose to be. I think that will help.
I thought yours was very successful, Sheila, because you literally looked like you had not moved and that people just kept shuffling in. It was the same face in every photo.
We kind of organized it that way, Leanne, which is, you know, worked really well for us because there were so many people there early. We just got out those signs that Julie's daughter-in-law, Lauren, made, the gorgeous signs. And we said, okay, anyone who wants a photo, over here now. And so Sheila and I just stood in the same place and we changed signs and, you know, sisters and misters jumped in. It was really a lot of fun. And it was great to be able to have that to do before the reading even started because it made things very exciting.
Yes, but there are going to be a lot of flashes going off, Monica. You got to keep your eyes open and your chin down. Okay. Number three, hugs are fine. Now, I am a germaphobe. I found hugs better than handshakes because I and these people want to hug you, and we have every right to hug them because, in a way, they are friends. So hugs are fine. I did a lot of hugging. It just seems, handshake just didn't seem enough. And the last tip I'd say, women are independent and sometimes they just want to go to the meetup and drink. Like they may not talk to you, but they may get a nice glass of wine and observe you from afar. So don't feel like you have to talk to everybody, Monica. All right. Sometimes they just want to see you and that's it.
Uh-huh.
Those are my tips.
Monica, are you still going to come?
I am. I'll definitely be there. I'll be there on Tuesday. Yeah, we're going to be at Lucky Lab.
Yeah,
you scouted out the Lucky Lab, right?
I scouted out the Lucky Lab. Here's what I would say. They have large tables.
Yeah.
Good. There's
plenty of room for us. It's sort of in an industrial area of Northwest. It's 20th and Quimby. There are a few parking spaces, four, at the Lucky Lab, but there's also parking on the street. There's not much going on down there in that little, around those couple of blocks, but it's very large. It's very open. It used to be a warehouse. They have big, long tables. You order beer at the counter. That's it. It's very low key. I think it will be great for our group.
Yes.
Because people can come and go. There's a lot of tables in there and there's darts.
Oh, good.
Darts, okay. With the real dartboard, you know, and darts. So I think that'll be fun. Now, I'm a little bit worried. I have to come right after work. So I'm going to have to, I don't know, buff myself up a little bit before I get there. So, you know, we'll see. I'm fine with the hugs.
Yeah. And I should mention ours is not a reading. It's just, We're going to be there. We are happy to sign your books. I understand there's a slight book shortage in Portland, Oregon. So a good problem to have, but not really. I might have a few books tucked in my bag, but you didn't hear that from me. So I might have a few books available for sale secretly in the corner, but don't tell anybody. So that's just so you know. So don't not come because you don't have a book or, you know, make that. Come on down to the Lucky Lab. All right. Well, that's going to be fun. Those are good tips, Sheila. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And then we're going to be on TV in Portland, Oregon the next day.
Leanne, I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah, we have to be on TV. Yeah. I don't know anything. We just, the AM Northwest, right? Our folks at AM Northwest inviting us back. So
I had everything thrown in the back of my car yesterday at like 7 a.m. leaving Portland. I mean, leaving Santa Monica to drive here. And all of a sudden at the last minute, I was like, I have to be on TV. I had to run upstairs and like grab a whole new outfit. I had completely forgotten that the whole reason we're really going to Portland was to be on AM Northwest.
Right.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. Do I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon neutral custom beauty brand. So PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E. pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you are going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Right. So, that was the plan. Yeah, that was the plan. So what color are you wearing, Liz?
Probably red.
Okay, good. I don't wear red. That's going to be good then. Okay.
Or I could be back in the Brooklyn Merlot.
Okay. Either one is good for you. Okay. Go ahead. You're good. You're cleared. Those all clear for those colors. Okay. So we'll see you in Portland, hopefully. Hopefully see you in Portland if you're in and around the Portland area.
Yeah, Tuesday night, 5 o'clock. We're starting at 5, but we'll be there till 8.
We should definitely start with water then. That's all I'm saying. I'm taking public transportation from my hotel. So just so people know, I'm taking the streetcar to Quimby. It's what I'm doing. So, Sheila, you have a story about the Girl Scouts?
Yes, I do, Lan. Okay, so the New York Times this morning, interesting article, funny article. I appreciated this. So there are 5 girls in Santa Rosa, California, that want to become Boy Scouts. They are determined to become Boy Scouts. So they're all in 5th and 6th grade. They call themselves the Unicorns. Of course they do, because they're girls, because they're a girl group. And as everybody knows, the Boy Scouts, the Cub Scouts, is an organization for boys. And interestingly, I thought that Title IX actually has an exception. Boy Scouts have an exception written into Title IX, which means they can exclude based on gender. They can exclude based on gender, and they are determined to stay all boys. So these girls have been working on this for about a year, led by one of the mothers, of course. Ella's mother has been pushing for this. And the Girl Scouts are like, hey, just come and join us. You know, we'll have you. And the girls, the reasons they don't want to be Girl Scouts are pretty funny. They do not appreciate
the badges.
No, get this. The badges, that's why I left Girl Scouts. It was way too competitive for me. They do not appreciate rest time and whispering. These are the type of girls that don't want to do that. They want to play tag and light fires. That is basically why they're pushing for this. So their mother got them into this thing called skills building. So this is like a pre-Boy Scouts course you can take. And they got really excited about the skills building. And then they went to something called Camperee, which was like a camp off. Now, I know, Leanne, you were Camper of the Year at your camp.
You bet. Twice. Two years in a row, by the way.
You went to an all-girls camp.
Yeah.
Would you ever consider at that time in your life thinking, I want to compete against boys?
Well, I mean, we had competitions against the boys' camp. But no, because we did light fires and play tag. I mean, we were like canoeing and doing like outdoor stuff in Maine.
Right.
I don't really understand why these girls want to be Boy Scouts. Girl Scouts is a pretty fantastic organization, from what I understand, where you can really kind of carve your own path. So I don't know.
Well, I think reading, you know, between the lines here, it's the mother. I think
she wants to take a stand on something.
I think Ella's mother is taking a stand on this. So the girls went to Camperee. They got second in the fire building, and they all felt at this point they were ready to be Boy Scouts, and they basically wanted to whoop the boys in this Camperee. So long story short, they went to one of the official, you know, meetings, and they went before the Boy Scout court, whatever that was. And the Boy Scouts are firm, you know, the Boy Scout organization, they are not admitting girls. So these girls are still fighting up in Santa Rosa. Ella's mom is still hopeful that they will someday soon become official Boy Scouts. But I just thought it was just an interesting, interesting quest on the part of the mother and the girls. and in the history, I mean, I've taught school for so many years. I know that girls love to form groups, and they are totally, I mean, I think the unicorns could branch off and create more unicorn groups.
That's a good idea.
Basically, by 5th or 6th grade, every girl I ever taught was in their own group, which they had named, and they had doctrines and rules and separate activities. This is what girls do. So I think the unicorn should, you know, just be themselves and go out there and unicorn power. But the Boy Scouts don't want you, and why would you want to be a club a member of a club that doesn't want you. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah, stay noisy, unicorns.
Yeah.
Yeah, stay noisy.
Yeah, but do your own thing, man. Do your own thing. You don't need Boy Scouts, man. You don't need Boy Scouts. I have so many friends, though, that have their girls have gone through Girl Scouts like all the way through. Like they don't drop out. They go through high school. They have these incredible experiences doing, you know, everything from camping to community service to robotics. I think it's a fantastic organization, the Girl Scouts. I lasted like 3 weeks in Girl Scouts because our troop did a lot of crafting, then they called it arts and crafts, which I did not enjoy. But, you know, more power to the unicorn, Sheila. You're absolutely right. Well, maybe they can take inspiration from the cover story of the New York Times Magazine this week, which is by Maureen Dowd. Cranky Maureen Dowd has written a pretty fascinating story about the women of Hollywood. It's the Women of Hollywood Speak Out. And it's about, like, why can't women get a job in Hollywood in terms of things like directing, writing, producing? And I encourage you, Sheila, particularly to read it. Your daughter is a director and she is going to be stepping into a world where, you know, only 1.9% of all feature films are directed by women.
That is disgusting.
That's shocking. So 98% of films are directed by men.
Okay. And,
you know, the thing that shocked me the most is the examples they had in that story, because everyone says there are no women in the pipeline, which is just not true.
It's not true.
We should just stop saying that, because they had plenty of examples of like young men who made little indie films that were very buzzy at Sundance. Boom. The next thing you know, they're making a $200 million superhero movie. Mm-hmm. You know, they just get moved up the chain much more quickly and people take chances on them much more easily. And the women who are making the same buzzy films at Sundance are back the next year with another buzzy film at Sundance.
Right.
And that's it. They never get the go ahead to take the next step.
Well, I would encourage everyone to read the article, you know, particularly if you're a young woman in your 20s or 30s and you think, there's no sexism in my workplace. Because the great thing about this piece is there are just all kinds of horrific quotes, actual quotes from Hollywood executives that women have heard in meetings, like, you're too attractive for this job, or we don't hire people with kids. Well, we don't hire women with kids, you know, they'd hire a male director with kids. It's just one, like, horrific quote after another. And I think the people, the executives in Hollywood, to say that stuff because they don't have the same self-censorship that other industries do. But don't think your boss isn't thinking this, no matter what industry you're in. That's what kind of struck me about this article. And they make the point, like, Hollywood is worse than any other business. It's worse than the U.S. Congress in terms of equality. It's worse than Fortune 500 companies. It's worse than academia, just in terms of the actual numbers of women working. But I think there are a lot of important lessons in there. They talked to some really powerful producers like Kathleen Kennedy, the president of Lucasfilms. And, you know, she said, I need women to call me and tell me why they want to direct the new Star Wars movie. You know, but that's good advice for almost any career. But it's really an incredibly interesting article, because I think you can translate some of the stuff they're talking about to any industry whatsoever. And yeah, Liz, you're right. This idea that, like, you know, women don't want to direct, they can't handle the big feature films. There are all kinds of reasons they come up for it. But it's just this idea that people hire people that look like them. Mm-hmm. And so when you have a lot of male producers, they hire the young guy that looks like them in the baseball cap and the blue jean and reminds them of them. So it's a super interesting article. It's really well done. She's talked to a million people, Maureen Dowd. She's been working on it for 6 months. So I think it's fascinating, but I think it's translatable to almost any work environment. And that's what struck me. It was like, this could be anywhere. This could be a bank. This could be a law firm. You know, this could be a real estate company. It could really be anywhere. So very interesting.
I mean, it's one of the reasons why I've always said the most important thing, or one of the most important things in the workplace, is having a boss who will take chances on you. Because that's effectively what this is, whether it's a Hollywood movie or a promotion in your workplace, or look over there, there's a better opportunity. You might want to, you know, jump to a different division of the company. You know, you need people that really believe you can do more than you're currently doing. And so you see this over and over again in the story. And Maureen Dowd, you know, is so smart and so snarky. And
right.
She also, you know, in this story, these are actual things actual people say.
I know. So it's shocking.
It's just, she's not even making this stuff up. you know, which is the phrase "hoist by your own petard" comes to mind when you listen to this. So anyway, so that I agree. Really, really interesting story to read. Well, talking about breaking the glass ceiling, I just wanted to put myself out there. Something I'm doing this week that will be breaking my own personal glass ceiling. I'm actually making Thanksgiving dinner this year.
Excited.
Monica will be in attendance. Our brother Dick, his wife Susan, Leo, and Fiona. So it's a core group. It's just half a dozen people. So I don't know why. I just like it's never been appropriate for me to make Thanksgiving dinner before, but this year it seemed like you know, I'm going to be in my little bungalow in Bend. I have furniture there now. It was never appropriate to invite people for dinner before because I didn't have like furniture or dishes or, you know, any of the basics you would need to actually entertain at home. But I'm actually very excited about it. Now, Monica, I know you said that you had some prep work you were doing, and then I'll tell you about mine.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've just been thinking about the Thanksgiving prep all week. Because I know that I'm coming and I want to help out. But the other thing is, I don't know if you guys have noticed, like on the internet, there's just this proliferation of articles about how to manage Thanksgiving.
Yes.
It's everywhere. It's basically like how not to screw up the turkey, the Thanksgiving turkey. They have like lists, the top 10 turkey mistakes, the top 10 gravy mistakes. I read this article in the Wall Street Journal. It was Thanksgiving in 3 hours or less. And I thought,
how is that possible? But that's it, like drive to Whole Foods, buy everything and drive home?
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo. Yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful yeah. glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAD Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
No, you can do it. It's a big chicken. What do they say, Monica? What do they say?
I was just thinking it's kind of like the Rachel Ray 30-minute.
Yeah, challenge. Yeah, you can do it. Right.
When you read into it further, it's 3 hours at the stove.
Okay.
So it doesn't, it 3 hours of cooking the meal at the stove. That's 3 hours or less. It doesn't include the 2 hours of grocery shopping, the 2 hours of like prepping the food, or the 4.5 hours it takes to cook the turkey.
Okay.
So I just don't know. 3 hours or less, that's a little rough. Then I like the New York Times. They have this interactive feature.
That is what I have been working with.
Liz, thank you.
It's yes. It's building a feast to please everyone. Yes.
So, good. So it's a website. So they have, you know, they ask a series of questions and then you kind of plug in your group. How many people, how experienced a cook are you? How omnivorous are your guests? Do you want traditional or do you want something new, some newfangled recipes? And then when will you begin cooking? So I went to it last night, Liz, and I just, for laughs, I plugged in extremely inexperienced cook and last minute prep.
Wow. Okay.
Thanks for the confidence.
Just to see. No, the photo just come up. So this is what came up. You have to spatchcock a turkey. Do you know how
Sorry. What's that?
Yes. You know, Monica, I saw that. And I thought that seemed like a really good idea, but I don't want to personally spatchcock it. Like,
no, if you get a spatchcocked turkey,
yeah,
or you spatchcock it, which seems like that's not really a beginner skill, where you kind of cut the bones, you smash it down, you cut it. I don't know. You make it flat.
Yeah, that's totally not a beginner skill.
Yeah,
but I guess if you bought a spatchcocked turkey, here's the point: the cookie. Turkey cooks in 45 minutes. So that is truly last minute. That is truly last minute.
But you have all day. I don't know why the obsession with how long it takes. So as long as you remember to defrost it, I feel like
it's the defrosting people forget to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there's just a lot of dishes. Everyone wants a lot of dishes. So Liz, I asked you, I want to make something on Wednesday. I have to stay here in Portland and work. So I wanted to kind of get in on the menu. So yeah. I agreed on making the cranberry sauce.
Yes.
I make a very nice cranberry pecan loaf, which
is a
nice bread to have, even maybe not at Thanksgiving dinner, but the next day. Then I'm making the dressing, and I'm going to use the Barefoot Contessa recipe, sausage, green apples, dried cranberries, bread, you know, all the spices. So do you notice the theme here? Cranberries.
Okay. Cranberries. Okay.
So I'm bringing 3 cranberry items, and I'm happy that I get to make these things and maybe just free up the kitchen for you a little bit, because I know you'll be cooking there on Thursday, and okay, I'm all prepared. I do know I was also looking at like various hotlines that are available to us. Of course, there's the Butterball hotline everyone knows about. Do you know Crisco has a pie hotline?
A pie hotline. Oh, yeah. In case
we have some. You're making a pie list?
No, I was going to outsource dessert, Liam. Okay. I thought I would outsource that to, you know, Dick and Susan and Leo and Fiona. They like to make fudge and make pies and things, right? Yeah. So I haven't told them that yet, but that's my plan.
You should let them know. I'm just saying. Okay,
3 hours or less. Probably dessert an hour or less. You can find a website for it. Also, Ocean Spray has a hotline for your cranberry needs. So I'm all set. Cranberry sauce, cranberry pecan loaf, and the dressing. I'm going to come prepared, Liz, on Thursday.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I have been reading a lot about Thanksgiving. And one funny detail I read in a story about doing Thanksgiving the Julia Child way, you know, because Julia could pull anything off without too much effort. Do you know, like back in the day, there was a story there from a woman who had Thanksgiving dinner with Julia Child in 1976 and 1977. And because Julia Child's phone number was a listed phone number, people would just call Julia Child. They would, like, this was before the Butterball hotline, before the Disco hotline. People would just, like, call information. I'd like the number for Julia Child. And didn't she live in Pasadena, Liam?
Well, she grew up in Pasadena.
Yeah.
Yeah, she grew up here. But, you know, then she moved to Paris and everywhere. So, yeah, but yeah, she was born there. Yeah.
Where, maybe she was in Boston because
this was in Boston.
The woman who is now the food editor of the Boston Globe said, yeah, she ate dinner with Julia 76 and 77, and they were just constantly interrupted by people calling Julia.
That is unbelievable.
I know.
That's fantastic. That's great.
And she said Julia's whole goal was to make sure that that people didn't freak out about it. So she actually remembers hearing Julia say to someone on the phone, who clearly was freaked out, "Don't worry, turkey is not meant to be eaten hot."
You know what? Thank you. I had to have that same conversation with my mother-in-law this week. Yeah, she offered to cook the turkey this year because I don't get home from Portland till 10 o'clock Wednesday night. So we're having a super duper small Thanksgiving. And I'm like, the only thing I can't do is the turkey because I usually do the dry brine. And it means I need to like rub it down in the fridge for 3 straight days. So I thought, oh, yeah. I'll buy the turkey. And she's like, no, I'll bring it. But then she was like, well, but then we can't have appetizers because I've just got to rush right over with the turkey and serve it. I was like, no, you don't. No, but no. Okay. All right. I'm going to quote Julia Child.
Okay, Julia Child, there's just no need. Well, okay, Liam, so you have a similar challenge to my challenge because I'm going to get to Bend this afternoon.
Yeah.
So then I have Sunday afternoon, all day Monday and Tuesday to do the pre-prep. So I don't know. You start to read some of these recipes and it's like, yeah, 5 days before you work on the gravy. Well, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, but whether it's the marinating or the brining or the prepping, I'm going to be there till Tuesday morning, but then I'll be gone driving to Portland and then coming back. So I'll be gone from Tuesday morning to Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So anything that is like in the fridge doing whatever it needs to do is fine. But I'm not going to be able to like rub it and you know, soothe it and do anything that needs to get done. So that really cuts back on some of the choices I can make because it's the 3 days and then the last 24 hours I can handle.
Honest to goodness, some of the best turkeys I ever cooked were butterballs. You don't have to do anything. Just defrost them and then you stick them in. You literally don't even open the door.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So don't, that's, you know, you do have to defrost it, but it'll be fine. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Believe it or not, not only did I order the turkey a month ago from the Good Market in Bend, Newport Market, I realized I don't have a single, like, I don't have a roasting pan. I don't have a baster. I don't have any of the other equipment you would need.
Yeah.
So also a month ago, I went to the Williams-Sonoma in my neighborhood. I just looked at everything, wrote down everything that I thought I would need, and then went home, ordered everything online, and it's been delivered. So this afternoon, when I get there, it's going to be like Christmas for me. Everything I sent myself, I sent myself so much stuff over the past month. You know, this summer I decided to like that I needed a real dining room table and good chairs. That's all going to be there when I get there this afternoon. I haven't even seen it.
Wow, this is an expensive Thanksgiving you're throwing yourself.
Yeah. Well, I just thought now that I had dining room table and chairs, time to go for it.
Ratchets it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do need a big carving board. So
don't
underestimate the size of the carving board. You need a big one for a big bird.
All right.
Otherwise, it's really
it's only six people. you know, the bird doesn't have, anyway, whatever. So I have Sunday afternoon and Monday to really get it all together. And then from Wednesday night to Thursday afternoon, I think we're going to be good. So my first ever turkey,
Okay.
Breaking the turkey ceiling.
Take some photos, Monty. Take photos.
Yeah, Instagram it.
I would just say, make sure you have enough wine, and that it will be a great Thanksgiving. So there you have it.
Okay, I will do that. I laid in heavy supplies of cranberry juice.
Yeah, good. That's good.
The wine I figured I'd buy once I get to Oregon, because there's all that delicious Oregon wine there.
Good thinking. Well, I know it is the internet is all about Thanksgiving this week. It's fun to look at. I made mom's pate yesterday. So
I saw that you posted that.
Yeah. It's always great to make it. It smells like childhood. So I made one for Thanksgiving and one for a party I'm having later in the month. So I'm all set there. It's a very messy proposition, but one, you have to do it in one day. It's totally worth it. All right. So,
hey, speaking of the internet, I have a question, an internet question that I just want to put out there. And I think we have a satellite sister, Brooks, in Texas, who might be the one that would absolutely know the correct answer to this. But there might be maybe one of you guys knows. I got one of those emails yesterday that you think, huh, is this true or not? You know, where sometimes they're obviously fake. You can tell from the spelling errors or just the formatting of the message, or they're like, please send us your
social security.
And so this is not that. This could conceivably really be from AT&T. But I don't know. They always tell you, don't just send stuff off for getting an email. So Brooks, here's my question. I got an email from AT&T saying that I have to redo my wireless account passcode.
No.
Yeah.
Just no. No.
That seems okay. Thank you. That was my, you know, I don't want something to go wrong with my phone, but that just seems like something that the communication would be different.
Yeah.
But they've got the correct AT&T logo. The color scheme of the email itself is correct. What else? It looks official in every other way.
Yeah.
Except for what they're actually asking me for, which is to reset my passcode. So Brooks or anyone, if you know if this is just, you can send the answer to info@satellitesisters.com. We will share it with the sisterhood. Is this legit? Is it legit? And they said it's because the previous passcodes were the 4 digits of your social security number. So they know that's not safe. So they want to switch everyone over to a safer system. I don't know. You guys are all thinking no, right?
No.
No.
Don't know. I have no idea.
So Brooks has weighed in before on AT&T issues. So I'm putting it out there. And Leah, you'll be in Dallas next week. And I believe she has previously attended some of our Satellite Sisters events.
All right. I'll ask her, Liz. I think her job is not communication at this level. I think she has a much higher level job.
I know she does. I know. But yeah, if you get a chance to, you know, if you're just looking for conversation.
Yeah.
You could ask her about this resetting your password email. Is that legit or not?
All right. Anyway, I don't think we'll be looking for conversation. Remember, we're going to have light refreshments. We're going to have nothing but cakes. And I'm telling you right now, guess what I bought this week for Dallas? I bought a faux fur poncho. So just forget about it.
Wow.
Just forget
punch
about it.
Up. Punch it up.
Just, oh, that was a weak moment. It's going to look good, though, I think. I think it's going to look good. That's right. We are going to be, so we have the event in Portland on Tuesday, and then the following week, Thursday, December 3rd, Julie and I will be at the Barnes & Noble in Dallas at Preston Royal Shopping Area at noon, Thursday, December 3rd. We're really looking forward to that, and Julie threw down the challenge. I dare you to come to Dallas, and she is working it. We're working hard, so we're excited for the people that have risen to the challenge. Look, I just am excited to go to Dallas. I love Dallas. And then we're sort of, we have a few other things for the rest of the month, but kind of, oh, we have a couple of other things. Yeah. Well, we'll get to that. One event at a time, right? One turkey at a time. this week, speaking of that, because I'm going to be in Portland, Julie and I will not be doing a Tuesday show, but we do have a couple of really fun Encore interviews to post. This week I posted the Tina Brown interview. I don't know if any of you have had a chance to re-listen to it.
Yes.
It's we had a conversation with her about her book, The Diana Chronicles, and she's such a fantastic storyteller, Tina Brown. So hearing her talk with this real insider of point of view on Princess Diana, it's great. It's just, I think it's a great interview. Even if I wasn't in it, I would think it was a great interview. And then coming up this week, I am posting, it's a classic, the JV team, Sheila Monica and I interviewed Roz Chast, the cartoonist.
That's a way back.
Way back. So incredibly brilliant. She was in the studio with us about her book, The Theory of Everything. And what's you just have to listen to the interview because it's very funny. And it's very mainly because Sheila and Roz Chast have a lot in common, a lot of the same anxieties about germs or like things hitting them out of the sky and things like that. And so even though the interviewee is Roz Chast, it's really Sheila's show. So it's very funny. And I thought I would post.
I felt very close to her. And yeah. I still have the book that she signed personally to me, Theories of Everything.
Yeah. I know. It's a great book. And she had that wonderful book last year that won the National Book Award for the beautiful book about her parents, her aging parents. And so she's just a brilliant cartoonist. But the interview is like super funny. I don't know why they let the three of us talk to her. So we're in over our heads, but it's fun. So I'm posting that. And I'm also posting one with Nick Hornby, the writer who wrote High Fidelity, but he also has written the screenplay for Brooklyn, that fantastic movie I saw last week. So it was fun to talk to Nick, and we're going to post that. So you'll have plenty to listen to Thanksgiving week while you're cooking or while you're driving or while you're podcasting to Portland. Shout out to our listener who is loading up the podcast and driving 5 hours to come see us in Portland. Plenty of shows to listen to, these Encore interviews. You're the best Encore interviews. All right. Anything else going on with people this week? And well, it's a big week, Thanksgiving. Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground. A lot of ground.
It's a big week.
Okay.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good luck with your, Monica, remember, get your pose ready. Camera pose.
Liz, you might
have all the good signs.
You're the signs, right? Okay.
That'll be fun.
Okay.
Good Lauren Hinkson signs with us, which Sheila and I discovered. You know, the best part of the signs is they cover up your total midsection.
Yes.
So that's,
I said that too last week. Yeah. It's fantastic.
I said the same thing.
And speaking of Minnesota, after the baked potatoes and the bread and the butter, the delicious, delicious food, it's good to have a sign in front of your midsection.
Yeah. Yeah. All that wild rice soup right there sitting in your midsection. That is good soup, though. It's worth it's worth every calorie.
It is. The TSA tried to seize mine. No way.
Love that soup. All right. Have a happy Thanksgiving, a happy and safe Thanksgiving if you're traveling. And don't forget, call your satellite sister.